You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. Today, I've got Frank Iglesias on the show. Frank, how you doing?
Doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm doing very good. Frank is a wholesaler and actually a house flipper as well in Atlanta. Frank and I have known each other for, what do you think, Frank, about 3 years, 3 or 4 years?
That sounds about right. It's been a few now.
And I'll let you tell the audience more, but didn't you get started as a wholesaler? I know that's sort of how you and I had our first interactions. I think I'd bought a couple properties from you back in the day, but it sounds like you're doing a little bit more than that now. Maybe tell us a little bit about how you got into the business and how long you've been doing it.
Well, right before we met, I was actually still working in corporate as an IT professional. And while I was doing that, I picked up just a few rental properties as a side thing, kind of dabbling in it. It was right when the crash started happening. So, you know, in retrospect, I wish I'd bought more while I was still working full time. But, you know, we got involved as being a landlord while I was still doing the full time thing. And then once we started dabbling in wholesaling, we're like, well, hey, this can be very profitable very quickly with a little bit of effort. And, you know, eventually I got out of IT, and because the real estate was growing to a point where it was just not sustainable to do them both at the same time anymore. And, you know, from there we transitioned to doing a lot more wholesaling, got into the rehab game a little bit, went through the school of hard knocks with that. And, you know, now we really are touching on all three things. We've gotten into some creative finance for cash flow properties. We have, you know, bought a handful outright, as well as, and we love wholesaling, though. I mean, we love the simplicity of it. And then the rehabs, you know, the rehabs have been interesting as the market here in Atlanta has shifted to where a lot of our rehabs now are getting more into the higher end price points, being the hedge fund sucked up everything else.
So. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So you're one of the special people who was actually working a full-time job, doing real estate on the side, and having enough success at real estate that you quit your day job and went full-time as a real estate investor.
That's correct. I was one of those weird people that I left what most would describe, myself included, as a very cushy job. Yep. I worked with a fantastic team of people in IT, loved them to death, had you know, good benefits. There was just plenty of tenure there, tons of experience, well-respected. And it was a great company to work for. And it was truly a, why would you leave this situation?
Sure.
And in retrospect, I think God had his hand on the whole thing, because it turned out, unbeknownst to me, a week after I had left IT, and I literally told my manager, I'm not retiring from the company, I'm retiring from IT. And a good friend of mine who was working there said the company I worked for was literally announced that they would be bought a week later.
Wow.
Total by chance. I was like, yeah, that was a God thing. So,
and so did a big portion of your department get laid off?
They actually, one of my colleagues ended up leaving about 3 months later, another one the following spring. And right now, the team of eight that I was with, the team of eight I was with, we were the high level IT infrastructure guys. So technology wise, if there was, the buck stopped with us when it came to running the company on the technology side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the time, I guess it was about a year after I had left, it was down to about three. I think we're still with the company. And, you know, all the others had moved on. So, crazy. So, you know, I really cherished that time as a result, because it ended up ending anyway.
Sure. And so you've gone from somebody that was punching a time clock to somebody that's working for himself when he wants. How would you describe the freedom of being a real estate investor?
The freedom was fantastic. The transition was a little challenging. I used to think I was pretty disciplined when I worked a job, but then when you had to do it for yourself every morning, I had redefined the definition of what that really meant.
Sure.
The freedom is awesome. The flexibility is awesome. But with that comes a great deal of higher responsibility. And so it's been quite the learning experience, but it's been great.
So how many years ago was that you basically went full time as a real estate investor?
It was beginning of July 2011. So we're going on, what is that, 3.5? Yeah. A little over 3.5?
Uh-huh. 3.5 years. And so in 3.5 years, what do you have your volume up to?
Our volume right now, our goal is always 5 deals a month. And it has shifted a little because we've been buying more rehabs. It really varies based on what the market is giving us more than anything. Sometimes... Ideally, I'd love to wholesale 5-10 deals a month. That's what I would love to do. But we go with what the market takes us. One of my mentors said you've got it figured out when no matter what the market's doing, going up, down, sideways, diagonally, you can still make money. And you know, I took that to heart and learned, hey, let's just whatever the market's giving us, we'll roll with that and adjust accordingly.
Sure. Yeah, you definitely don't want to buy just for the sake of buying. You want to make sure that the deals make sense.
Yes. We're pretty concerned. We've learned over these last few years to stay conservative.
Yep.
And so we're not the buyer that will buy based on speculation. I know some guys, the market's getting up. They're like, oh, it's going to be worth this. I'm like... So we remember and saw and got the phone calls from people that sold because of the bust that bought on those speculative pitches. And so we stay away from that as much as possible.
No, that's a great point. Running your numbers based on what today's values are, not what they might be, at some point in the future.
Exactly. And we run into that, especially when we're dealing with properties where there might be some other professionals involved. Everyone's got very strong opinions about it, and which is totally fine. We just choose to stay on the conservative side.
Sure. All it takes is a couple to get stung on before you have a short memory and you remember what that felt like.
Yes. And, we have been, we're not perfect by any stretch. We've been stung on a couple. Thankfully, we've never had a deal that ended in the red. So we are thankful for that.
That's impressive.
But yeah, I consider that a blessing. However, when you're in the black and you only made $2,000 or $3,000, that's not too exciting. So you remember those things.
Sure, absolutely. So which brings us on to our next topic, which is your best deal ever. So looking back over the last 3-4 years that you've been full time, is there a deal that kind of stands out as maybe your best deal or a deal that was special in some way?
Yes, we had a deal. We got it from a direct mail campaign, and it was a really fun deal because it was the kind that you hear pitched at the seminars. And it was like, wow, it really happened.
Yeah.
It was a deal where it was a true motivated seller. They were just completely over the house. They really just, it was like, just get it gone. We met with them. They were short. They were to the point. Very kind, very respectful. But it was like, look, here's the deal. What can you give me? We just need it gone, and we need it gone, a week ago. We gave them an offer. We had the negotiation probably lasted all of about a minute, and we were able to then wholesale that house out for a $17,000 profit. I mean, I put it out to my buyers list. It was under contract within 5 minutes.
Wow.
And yeah, I got a call. The guy's like called me up and goes, I'm wiring your earnest money now. It's a done deal. It was a reputable buyer. So I knew when he said it was done, it was done. And we closed it probably a couple weeks later, made $17,000. He was thrilled. The seller was emotionally happy, to say the least. And it was like, wow, that's if they only all worked that way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sometimes the best deal ever, you make good money on it, but you remember the fact that everything just went right.
Yes.
Like that was the case with this deal.
Yes. The seller was really, really happy. And, you almost feel bad about it because you're like, wow, he's thrilled. And here we are making that kind of money off it. But, you know, I don't think it would have mattered to him. You could tell the emotional weight lifted was far greater than probably any dollar figure we could have thrown out there.
Sure. Well, and when you're doing direct mail for a motivated seller, you know, at the end of the day, you hope you find somebody who appreciates what you're doing for them, not just, you know, resents the fact that you're taking them to the cleaners. And so in this case, you had somebody that was truly appreciative of what you were doing for them.
That's very true. And one of the things I really like is I have found that the vast majority of the deals we do are usually not these, you know, intensely motivated situations. It's really just people that are willing to be reasonable. And as long as they're willing to be reasonable, you know, most people got a good head on their shoulders and they're, you know, most people are good, honest people. And they're like, hey, if we can just work something out to where they can just feel, you know, they can walk away from it and, you know, go to sleep at night and not feel bad, and we can walk away with numbers that make sense, you know, that's our most typical deal. And everyone, you know, those tend to work out really well.
Yeah. So in this particular case, you got the house under contract. You turned around and immediately sent out an email to your list. You get a contract for 17 higher than what you put under contract for. And then did you assign your contract, or did you do a double close, or how did what were the mechanics of that?
On this particular one, we did a back-to-back close. Anytime we're dealing with anything above something small, we'll do a back-to-back. The other thing I've found is with these back-to-back closes is I think people tend to understand that a little better because it's like a closing, a closing, a closing. We've run into a lot of people that, quite frankly, don't understand assignments, which in real estate investing, you would think that's almost silly at times, but there really is a lot of people that don't understand assignments. And so, you know, it's a lot of times it's just easier. And the attorneys are happier because they make a little bit more charge in their two closings. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times it actually is the easiest, simplest way to do it.
Sure. Well, and it doesn't raise a bunch of questions about how much you're making or what your assignment fee is and why it's on the HUD. And yeah, I get that. If you're over a certain amount, you don't want people raising their eyebrows at you at the closing table. Sometimes it's better just to have two separate HUD statements and two separate closings.
Exactly. It allows people to stay focused on their end of the deal. And if our profit starts clouding the deal, then, you know, it just, I have found that doesn't tend to end well. I've only had one situation where I actually put out an assignment and all, you know, within 15 minutes, I get a call saying, can we talk about that? And, you know, at that point, you're like, guys, there's nothing to talk about, you know.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. So
we've learned to avoid that. I've seen it play out with many other investors many times. So
yeah.
I like back to back, you know, it's simple, it's clean, everybody gets it.
You know, it's funny, it's just this week, or it was probably last week or the week before, we closed on a house that we were buying from a local wholesaler, and he did an assignment with us, which I'm totally cool with assignments because I think everybody should make some money. And it was a pretty inexpensive house, and the dude was making $23,000 wholesaling this house to me. And I called him right up, and I didn't give him any grief at all. I said, I want to pat you on the back and let you buy me a steak dinner because you just made $23,000. And the thing is, I was still getting a good deal. I was very content with the number I was buying the house at. But, you know, there's a lot of investors that probably wouldn't have that perspective. They don't think, you know, a wholesaler should make that kind of money. But the reality is if the wholesaler went out there and found the deal and negotiated it down, good for them. Pat them on the back. Tell them they did a good job.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wish most investors would tell me that. But it's true. You know, a lot of guys, it's almost like they feel like, you know, that they should be, I don't know, for lack of a better word, entitled to it. But yeah, the wholesaling is, I mean, it's work, it's effort, it's a job for all intents and purposes.
It's a grind, no doubt.
And I think they should be rewarded for it, you know, if you get a good one. And the reality is the thing to keep in mind is most wholesalers aren't making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 per deal, you know,
right.
Unless they're like in California, maybe, but certainly not in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah. The majority, yeah. Most of the time, they're going to be $5,000, $7,000, maybe $10,000. You know, once in a blue moon, maybe, and that's even what he said. I mean, it's not like the majority of his deals he's making that kind of money. But once in a blue moon, you know, they stumble across just a really, really good deal. And you know what? Good for them. If I'm happy at the price I'm paying for it, then who cares?
Absolutely. And you know, every now and then we get those gems, you know.
That's right. That's right. So, Frank, you are active in Atlanta. You're wholesaling. You're also doing some flips. You're retailing. You're doing some new construction, it sounds like. If somebody out there wanted to find you and kind of find out what you're doing or maybe get on your buyer's list, how could they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a buyer site that anyone can log into. It's housesinatlantaforsale.com. Again, housesinatlantaforsale.com. You know, we do send out a newsletter on a monthly to bi-monthly basis, and we send deals out every now and then. We'll send out an education piece, but, you know, just so everyone knows, we're not going to spam you. So it's just deals, newsletter. If you want to email a deal to us, we're buying. I mean, you can email us any deals at info@workingwithhouses.com. Again, info@workingwithhouses.com. We are buying, and we'll buy at any price point. You know, right now we're working on homes that are, you know, worth $500,000, and I'm working at another one that's worth, you know, like $30,000 and everything in between. Or you can call us direct, 678-408-2228. Again, 678-408-2228. I've got a team of people, so if I don't pick up, it's not an answering service. It's real people. They're my team, and you know, they're there to serve you.
Awesome. Frank, thanks so much for being on the show. Super helpful, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do 5 simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number 1, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number 2, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number 3, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number 4, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number 5, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all 5 of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.